3, the director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, commissioners. I do have a few items, but before I start, I'd like to just give you, I guess, a brief recap on my first week here. I have not been bored for one second. That is pretty much from daylight till dark so far, so I have been having a great time. I've been meeting some fantastic people. People have been very welcoming. We had a little get-together across the way here, and I met all the Olympia staff and had a good visit with them and fielded some questions. So looking forward to working with the people of Washington on many issues, fish and wildlife. I am learning a whole bunch about fisheries right now. I know a little bit about wildlife, but I'm looking forward to working with some of the folks and actually getting some really in-depth knowledge to the big game populations and herds in the state. That is a passion of mine. But I'm also a very passionate sportsman, a hunter and fisherman. And in fact, the first weekend I was here, I went over on the Satsup and I didn't do any damage to steelhead, but I sure tried for a few hours just to catch a breather and get away from house hunting. But with that, I'll go through a couple items that have been given to me. First off, we're opening a Cowlitz River smolt fishery. It's going to be a couple weekends or two Saturdays, February 7th and 14th. It's a recreational smelt dip fishery. Those fishes, they were listed here a few years ago, but the last few years runs have been very strong. And I think I read, a couple hundred million in recent runs. Yeah, does that sound right? I don't see that right now. But anyway, it'll be a 10-pound limit, about a third of a bucket, a 5-gallon bucket. So I don't know what you'd do with that many smelt, but I haven't eaten them. So I used to see them in Rosars when I was in college at University of Idaho a long time ago this time of year. So anyway, the next item is from Jennifer Kwan. It's just a report on the federal budget and what President Obama's first release is on that. There's some good news for conservation sections of the funding. Pacific Coast Salmon Recovery Fund is proposed at $58 million. That's an $8 million increase over previous years, but it's still short of the one-time high here a few years ago. Fish and Wildlife Service budget also saw an increase, as did state fish, wildlife, and tribal grants. So that's some good news. Some not-so-good news, Mitchell Act funding was actually reduced again by about $3 million. So that's an area that we'll have to work with our congressionals to try to put some pressure to see if we can do something about that. Let's see, I got some wildlife reports from Nate. First off, we're continuing to work on the Stemilt, is that how you say it?
Stemilt.
Land transaction. This is south of Wenatchee. I guess in the past, we've been working with Department of Natural Resources for the transfer of 4 sections. You all approved 2 sections a year or so ago. Now we're going into DNR with an MOU to do 2 more sections on that. We're putting together the package. It'll come to you and to the Natural Resources Board here shortly for your approval. So that's a package we're working on to finish that land transaction. We've completed the Nanum Ridge to Columbia River Recreation and Access Plan. I was glad to see that the baseline here was the hunting and fishing access was that didn't need to be a part of this plan because that was an important known. That was never in jeopardy and wasn't part of the negotiations. In fact, the other recreation was largely shaped around, or at least partially shaped around, those activities. And so in this process, some of the key stakeholders or interested people were the mountain bikers, motorized users, backcountry horsemen, snowmobilers, etc. And so the plan was to try to find a way to fit in their recreational desires on this property and not to have conflicts with wintering animals and other folks, particularly hunters and fishermen. So that plan has been finalized. It's got about a 10 to 15 year life, and it was a very robust stakeholder process, and I guess we're going to keep that process together so we can evaluate that plan into the future. A couple items about wolves. First off, regional biologists, we're in the process right now of flying and evaluating our current wolf populations with the telemetry information we have to determine our breeding pairs and estimate the number of packs that we have. We'll be doing that through the next probably 2 or 3 weeks. We have to provide a report to the Fish and Wildlife Service by March that gives our estimates for population, total population size, and distribution. So we're working on that with the information we have, but also starting the week of February 8th, we're going to be doing some aerial capture operations. We have three or four operations planned to try to get some additional radio collars on, I think, up to nine different areas and several different packs. As you know, with the current metric we're using of breeding pairs, it's very important to have telemetry animals that have radio telemetry in every pack, and so, or as many packs as we possibly can, because you need a big sample to document that kind of a metric. And so we're moving forward with that. We have initiated our wolf livestock conflict, let's see, what do we call them, working groups. And these are groups, smaller working groups of livestock producers in the area where we have had conflicts in the past. And those meetings are just getting off the ground. I think we had one meeting with a group that are in the area of the Smackout, Huckleberry, and Profanity packs. I think they've had one meeting. There are other groups that will be getting together in other areas around there, like some producers associated with the Huckleberry pack. So that's ongoing work for this spring. They're working on things to look at non-lethal measures that they can make efforts to prevent livestock depredations going into the grazing season. And they're also talking about, you know, general surrounding environments, landscape conditions, and just the livestock operations themselves. So those are ongoing. We have met with some livestock producers in some areas with known packs, and I actually had the opportunity to meet with the Cattle Producers Association. They were over here on other business at the State House. They dropped in yesterday, I believe, and we had a visit. So I'm starting to meet with lots of different groups as the opportunities arrive. So the door is open to folks like that. We have started, I think somebody mentioned, Sean, I guess, mentioned the human wildlife conflict collaboration that we've initiated. Francine, can't even read my own writing, Madden, I think. She interviewed me the other day, and also Commissioner Wecker, and that was an interesting dialogue, you know. It's such an interesting story, and there's so many rabbit trails involved with wolf management over the last 20 years. It's hard to put together your comprehensive thoughts in a straight story, a consistent story of how the things unfolded here in the Northwest. But a continuing interesting dialogue, and I think she's going to help us inform all sides of the issue, and that's going to be nice to have a kind of a third or a neutral party look at the conflict and maybe help us move forward. The department's going to initiate what we've called the Interagency Wolf Committee, and that is a committee that we've put together with federal, state, tribal leaders, as well as representatives from British Columbia, Idaho, and Oregon to talk about wolf management and how things are developing in the other states to keep tabs on current conditions and wolf distributions in our neighboring states. So that'll be going on this spring. We've completed selection of the members, of additional members to the Wolf Advisory Group. That group has increased from 9 to 18 members, and so they will be having some of their first meetings this spring. We presented a wolf update up at the State House Thursday. There's currently seven bills that have been introduced in the House and one bill in the Senate. So we're watching those, and we're trying to provide the best information we can to all the folks up there. With that, those are the updates I wanted to deliver today, and stand for any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Director. Commissioner Wanker, pardon me.
Thanks. So welcome. You know, we're all thrilled to have you here. And as members of the public said, we're particularly interested in how you're going to lead the department, with, given that your background comes from the wildlife side of things, which I'm not sure if we've ever had a director that has that background. So we all have high expectations and welcome you. I had, I'm not sure you're, you know, we understand that you might not be able to answer a lot of questions. You'll be relying on staff for a while. But some of the things that you raised that I'm interested in hearing more about is the Madden contract. Do you know when her report is likely to be submitted? What the time frame?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, if I could, Nate could maybe inform us on that, the specifics of that.
And
I did ask her, but I...
Yeah. And also, Nate, do you have a list of the WAG members that we could hear? The new members and the old?
Mr. Vice Chair, Commissioner Wecker, a couple items. There is, as was mentioned earlier, Francine is conducting about 80 interviews, and so she's been traveling across the state for the past 2 weeks. I don't recall the exact time of when her report will be done, but we're looking at probably having the next Wolf Advisory Group meeting scheduled for, I think, March. And so we're hoping here to have some initial assessments and certainly having her skill set in helping to moderate our first Wolf Advisory Group will be extremely helpful. I think what we're going to do with the first Wolf Advisory Group, because we have expanded the number of members from 9 to 18, is probably the first half of the meeting kind of offer a Wolf Management 101, make sure the new members are aware of the elements in the Wolf Conservation Management Plan, just to establish that baseline, and then we'll move into some of the new items. And on the list, of course, is certainly reviewing some of the protocols to address wolf-livestock conflict. We heard that pretty loud and clear as folks were very concerned as a result of the Huckleberry pack issues from last August and September, where some individuals were questioning whether or not enough non-lethal measures were deployed or were they deployed properly, as well as folks were very concerned that the department could have moved in sooner and removed more wolves to help alleviate those issues. We will get you a list of the new members for the WAG. We'll get that to you later today.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for Director Unsworth? Hearing none, we'll move on to Deputy Director Storr.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair, and good morning, Commissioners. I wanted to just take 2 minutes and let you know about some investments, some new direction that we're trying to make in terms of document management. You know, we've got huge responsibilities in terms of transparency, open government, to make sure we're managing our information, both in written form and emails, electronic form. and responding to public disclosure requests around that, holding, retaining documents related to litigation. And frankly, up till about a year ago or so, we had a one-person shop with a lot of help from people spread throughout the organization. But it just got to be overwhelming, and we were struggling to keep up with, for instance, public disclosure requests. And so we're on track, just as an FYI, this year to have 850 public disclosure requests. You look at other agencies, and that's actually in the middle. I mean, Department of Ecology, I think, has several thousand. Labor and Industries, maybe twice that much. So the use of the public disclosure request statute is it's being used more and more. The requests are often more complicated and more extensive. And so we have formed what we're calling an information governance group. We have four staff in that group, two doing nothing but public disclosure requests, another helping with document management and retention in general. You know, when do you archive documents? How do you go back and find documents that have been in the closet for 30 years, and we have some of those, and get those into the system and make sure they're saved? And we hired a leader for this group, a man by the name of Bill Fowling, who came from the AG's office, has an extensive private-public experience around document discovery. He's an attorney by training, and so we've gotten more sophisticated. Bill is looking at working with other agencies at enterprise systems in terms of computer management or computer software that would help us manage documents. And then the other staff are working with him to move this forward. One particular public disclosure request that just came out yesterday afternoon I wanted to bring to your attention because it affects all of you as well. There was a PDR sent to over 60 state agencies requesting all emails with metadata in the MSG file format. Don't have to pay attention to that. This gentleman was requesting all emails generated by 60 agencies as of noon yesterday back. And, huge potential stressor on agencies who want to provide, but you're sort of left wondering how and when that could happen. The Attorney General's office is taking the lead and looking at that. So the main message for you, until we come together as a set of state agencies and decide how to respond, is do not delete any of your emails. What I've done is I've created a separate folder, and for an email that is transitory, you know, something that's sort of trivial that I might have deleted before, I'm just putting everything into a hold folder until we figure this out collectively as to what has to happen. So stay tuned, and we'll keep you in touch as this moves forward.
Thank you, Deputy Director Storr. Are there any questions? Commissioner Wecker?
Can you give us some of the flavor of what's going on across the street?
Commissioner Wecker, I really haven't heard. I mean, this just happened yesterday afternoon. And I think everybody's scrambling to try to...
I was talking in general.
Oh, with the legislature?
Yeah.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Busy week. In fact, every week's been busy so far. Between wolves and budget and a number of other issues. We have Ann Larson and a number of senior staff making the rounds with legislators to talk about our issues, talk about our budget impacts, should sort of some of the worst case scenarios apply, talk about wolf management, and you've heard some of that. We're talking about the steelhead issues in the Puget Sound. So a lot of attempt to get information into people's hands so they're aware of what we have or haven't done in a particular situation. It's hard to tell. We're hearing on the budget side of things, that there will likely be an early February revenue forecast. And then that will be followed shortly by the House budget. We think the House budget will come out first, followed by the Senate budget. Every indication I have is that the governor's budget is probably the high mark, because the Book 2 budget we described to you last time was the assumed the inclusion of a lot of new revenue. There was a hearing on the governor's climate change bill and the carbon banking and the revenue generation on Tuesday, and it was overflow in four different rooms. I mean, they filled the first main hearing room, and they had three others with speakers, loudspeakers, and they were all full. So a real diverse set of issues and concerns, some interesting partners coming together on each side of the issue. And it's hard to tell where that's going, but it's you know, it's the governor's one of the governor's major issues. Another of his issues that's getting a lot of attention has to do with oil spill toxics and the potential increase in the barrel tax, what they call the oil spill response tax, and the use of those funds to deal with the new phenomena around oil trains. And various siting proposals that are out there for the shipment of oil and coal. So that's getting a lot of attention. So that, there's a little flavor there. We're meeting every Wednesday at the directors of the natural resource agencies are meeting as a sub-cabinet with other separately electeds and ourselves to keep each other informed. And then, as I mentioned earlier, Ann Larson, our ledge liaison, is wearing out a couple pairs of shoes, walking back and forth in terms of different meetings. So we'll see. It's still kind of early. Cutoff for policy bills is, I believe, the 20th, and for bills with related to the budget, the 27th of this month.
And one final question. Someone testified this morning that we have two vacancies, pointed it out again. Of course, we don't appoint our own membership, but have you heard anything from the governor's office about commission appointments?
I know that they are looking, and it seems my impression is that's accelerated, the effort to try and fill those seats has accelerated with Commissioner Schmitten's leaving the board, leaving the commission.
You might mention to them that this meeting we only have five members. We've reached a quorum, but just barely. So,
will do.
Thanks.
Commissioner Keeney.
Thank you. Hard to say not, Madam.
Yes.
Madam Chair. Mr. Chair. Sorry. My comment was the same as Commissioner Miranda, is that as those missing seats, I think, are even more important now. And I'm from Eastern Washington. I fill an at-large position. But to have two vacancies from Eastern Washington, I think, stands out as a need. And so anything that can be done to encourage that, I know it's not our decision, it's not your decision, and it's the governor's, but just people have schedules too, and so we're not very far from not having a quorum and having to not have this meeting this month. So, thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Thank you, Deputy Director Storr.